Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rise of Drekkus, Chapter 4, Episode 2. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Clibs?
I'm doing pretty good. Last session, we went through a lot of material very quickly, and here we are in the next one. Are you still feeling as confident as you were last session?
Yeah, that was super easy. I didn't lose a single hit point. That's because I'm very powerful.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, let's pick it up here. Last we left, you had seen like an injured creature or a sick creature or something. You just walked around. It was like a badger. You left it and you moved on down. And so we're going to pick up right after that, you know, a little bit down the road.
Badger, whatever.
Badger, perfect. Yes. Yes. So, you're heading through the woods, along the river, following the nice, easy trail. And could you roll me a quick d10?
Yes. One d10.
Perfect, you'll see it. This is what you are seeing. You are seeing that zombie stag directly in front of you that you can see right here. If you can see right here, where is it? There we go. You're up here in the corner, here, and just down and over, you can see this thing. It looks like a stag, but it is clearly somehow twisted and rotted, and its flesh is sort of hanging awkwardly. Its eyes are sort of inward and kind of, you know, one facing down, one facing up, and glazed over, not really looking in any direction. But it is moving.
Moving as in coming right at me.
Yes, it seems to have noticed you and is making its way in a slow, ambling fashion in your direction.
All right, I'll try something. If it's that slow, I will back away from it as fast as I can.
Excellent. You will find that with the encumbrance of your armor, you are moving at movement rate 6. And this creature, with all of its, you know, slow undeadness, is also moving at movement rate 6. So you can maintain this distance, but you're pretty slow in that armor, and you're not going to be able to gain any distance.
Well, with my hands clutched at my mace and shield, I draw and get ready to fight.
Okay.
I call out to it, "You cursed stag, let me send you to your true death."
Okay. Well, a nice little initiative roll here. Why don't you make your own?
Yes, with a mace. Let me check what the initiative is.
It is speed 6.
Speed 6, great.
Yeah, you'll get to act first as this thing stumbles slowly in your direction.
How fortunate. Okay, I will go ahead and, you know, not charge at it, but with a steady rate, with my shield held up high, I will go ahead and hit it with my mace.
Should be easy. It's a lumbering beast of a creature.
All right. Would you say this is one of those evil creatures?
Most certainly. Oh, not only is it a hit, it's actually a full-fledged critical hit. Your base damage is doubled, but your plus 10 is not. So 2d6 plus 2 plus 10.
Okay, and rolling in an extra d6 and then plus 10 added to that one.
Okay, wow. So the D6s were both 2s, so 4 plus 2 is 6 plus 10 is 16 total. Excellent. Mm-hmm. You will smash into the stag, your mace shining with a bright light as it sort of rips flesh and limb from this creature, who is badly beaten by it, but will still attempt to gore you with its horns. They scrape against your armor. They knock against your shield, and they do manage to, well, maybe push you back. You need to make a strength check because this creature, as horribly mutilated as it is very strong, and its gore attack will shove you backwards a few feet as you stumble and the creature presses you closer to the river. Next round initiative. It's a very slow stag.
Thank goodness I'm eating something even slower than myself.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's very fast.
All right, Nicholas. Should be easy. You did a bunch of damage last round.
Yep, I'll circle around it. It's a dumb zombie, so I'll try to get a position where I don't get pushed into the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will attack it.
Excellent hit. Once again, you smash your mace into this creature. D6 plus 11. No, 1 and... Yeah, D6 plus 11 damage.
Yes, okay. I will... Here, 1d6 plus 11.
15 points of damage. Hacks most of what remains of this stag off. Horns come to the side. The face is ripped off. The lower jaw falls to the ground. The mace shines with a nice, clear, warm red light as you bash this thing into bits. And yet it presses on, even though most of its face and, four shoulders are gone. With another thrust of its horns, it will hit you. It's not a critical hit since your AC is 22, but it will smash you for 8 points of damage with its one good horn going over the shield and up underneath your, or above your coif, right into your neck. The gnarled horn will rip flesh and blood.
I'll grit my teeth as I attempt to smite this thing down finally.
Yeah, it's only one lone zombie stag.
Mm-hmm. Here's my revenge attack. Whew, I think that's good enough.
That is good enough, yes.
All right. For 13 more, which I think is good enough.
More than enough. You will bring the mace down. The creature splatters before you. Its hind legs still sort of standing, the rest of it tilted forward. And here on the edge of the river, you'll notice that the backside of it is beginning to, steam and smolder in the sunlight.
Interesting. Is the stag steaming or smoldering at all as the sun hits it?
Yeah. Yeah, the backside of it is in the part in direct sunlight. The rest of it's shaded by this tree, and it is beginning to...
Got it. Well, I'll camp for a while after that one. What are the general rules on healing that we're going off of here? How long will it take for a man like me to heal these wounds back naturally?
If you get a day of rest where you're not doing anything exciting, like the full 24 hours of rest, you gain 1 HP per day. If you're in the care of a doctor, it's 2 HP per day. If that doctor also has an herbalism proficiency and access to supplies, it's 3 HP per day. If you're out in the woods resting by yourself, though, that's going to be a 1, I think. You don't have a healing proficiency, do you?
No.
No.
Okay. He got a good hit on me. So I will... I'll grab one of these potions out of my bag of holding and I'll consider using it. How much does a potion of healing heal?
2d4 plus 2.
That looks like about how wounded I am if I get lucky. So I will drink one.
Yeah. It's kind of a weak potion. Maybe the corruption of the land is weakening it itself. Maybe you didn't drink it right, Maybe you have to drink it more slowly or more quickly. Or it's just not a great potion. That's pretty good.
This must be one of Malchus's tests, I say as I drink it, and it doesn't heal me as expected. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to take him up on it. So, knowing that there's these zombie stags, I'll keep more alert now.
Yeah.
As I go into this forest, is it super dense?
Well, you can see to the south side that the forest down there has like a pretty stark change to it. Instead of being these nice tall green trees with lovely grasses, there's sort of these burned leaves, not burned by fire, but like a burned color, like a black or reddish color to it. And the ground there seems devoid of grasses and life. But other than that, the forest, you know, the living section of the forest is still fairly light. I would call it a light wood.
Hmm. Okay, I will... I guess I'll approach this discolorationed forest. And I'll walk up to it a bit. And I try to get a sense of how far this radius is, just off of looking at it to see if it's like in a circular pattern.
It goes as far as you can see to the east, as far as you can see to the south, but it does appear to end somewhere right over here and right over here. Like you've reached the edge of whatever this mess is, but you can't, you know, your vision only goes so far. Certainly.
Got it. Mm-hmm. If I were to guess at it, would it have ended in a circular form? Like, am I standing on the outside of a circle, or...?
You're not seeing much curvature at this point. If it is a circle, it's a large enough circle that where you're standing is not a clear, rounded corner, rounded edge.
Got it. Okay, that was... told to investigate this, so I will, or at least I designated it as such, so I will I'll head in a little bit just to get a first look at what this infected forest might look like.
Yeah, well, it definitely looks like the land has been damaged. You know, some of these trees are fallen all the way to the ground. Other areas look like the wood has just been twisted in a weird way. Like, have you ever seen one of those I can't remember what type of tree it is. You'll have like a normal tree and then there'll be this weird big bulging like cancerous looking knot that just kind of hangs off the side of it, and then the tree like continues healthily along the way. It has that sort of vibe where there's an ordinary tree. It looks like a dead tree, but an ordinary tree with these like weird bulbous outgrowths of wood. The ground beneath your feet is dirty. The grass is mostly gone. It feels a little bit almost like you're walking through powder or ash, where the ground just the things that would normally bind it together that creates like a nice healthy soil are not there. It's just going to be kicked around pretty easily.
Interesting. Is there sunlight shining here?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Okay. Did it look like I had room to maneuver if I were to head back out to the river? That looked like the good part of the forest was walkable?
Yeah. On the river, it still seemed healthy and everything.
Okay. I guess the corruption is as far as the eye sees, even as I head up here.
Yep, from where you're standing to the south and to the east, it still continues to the extent of your vision.
All right, I'll head back to the river and continue east, following the river then.
Okay.
I keep an eye on the radius of the forest that's corrupted, and I see if it continues.
Yeah. As you walk along the river, you'll see that there's this nice, pleasant stretch of life along either edge of the river. And the further you go along the river, the closer the corruption seems to be coming to the edge. But there maintains a nice, lovely little healthy strip along the edge for at least the next half mile. So I don't want to say you go too far without your explicit consent.
That sounds good. I will continue for the traveling day then. And once it's clear that it's always going to look like this, I start to, as my general while walking thing, what I do is I take a look at that scroll that we found yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Elvish language scroll. Mm. And while I don't know a lick of Elvish, mm-hmm. many languages sometimes share words. So I will guess at it, so to say. It's written very boldly, and perhaps there are some things that I can make of it.
Yeah. Why don't you give me an intelligence check?
Sure. As a side note, I had asked if there were any other literature there, but there was none. Intelligence.
Yeah. As you go through this, you will note that there are a couple of words that are printed in what must be the Elven equivalent of all caps, and then right next to them is like a little tiny doodle. And with your 23 on your intelligence check, you can see that those little doodles correspond with something that looks similar to symbols of gods, and that those might be the words for Ponos and Solt. Ponos is the god of, what is the technical description we give him? Suffering, I believe, is what we like to say. Yeah. Hmm. The god of suffering, and Solt is the god of despair. And these would be in, you know, Ponos is in paragraph 3, Solt is in paragraph 4 out of 5-6 paragraphs total.
Okay, and the reason I got those is they look like a depiction of their holy symbol or something?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a word in all caps, which yeah. is usually denoting some super important thing. And then there's like a little scribble next to each one. And they both have these sort of like spiraling, like twisting symbols. And Ponos's symbol is a purple inward spiral. And Solt's symbol is like a dot with lots of concentric rings around it. So, you know, allowing for cultural differences, they could easily be those two. And they're both, you know, really short words, and those are pretty short deity names.
Okay. Did I get the sense that this was done for the intent of having people who weren't Elvish be able to decipher it a little bit, or just coincidence?
It's probably just how they, you know, refer to the gods by putting their name and their symbol next to them.
Got
it. It's probably just like a weird cultural, linguistical something or other.
Handy. Okay.
Yep. But other than that, you know, the Elvish script, the Elvish alphabet isn't at all in the same as the common alphabet. It'd be like looking at, you know, Arabic as opposed to English or Romanized letters.
Got it. Well, I make a opening theory that the script says that Ponos and Solt are angry and they have come to destroy us all.
Hmm. Okay. Well, along the river you go. You said you're going to do the rest of the marching day, and it takes maybe another 2 hours before this corrupted edge of the forest reaches the river itself. And the banks of the river are dead, grassless, overreached by rotten, ruined trees.
Hmm. I sigh and say, this corruption certainly has spread quite far. I look at my map.
Oh, I will bring us to that map then.
And I mull. Looks like there's still no real sign of anywhere to go other than Lostrin. So I guess I will continue on my way.
Okay. After another 2 hours, you're getting into the late afternoon by now, maybe about time to start thinking for camp. You'll see that along the river, whose waters are still nice and clear, even though the land on either side of it is fairly dead, there are these pools of still water, just like a pond or a puddle, or just an area where water collects and doesn't seep through the ground very quickly. Maybe even some of these are low spots that are at the river water table level. But the waters on these sections are not, you know, transparent and clear or blue or anything like that. They have a distinctly, like, you know, that green of water when it's covered with like really thick algae and it's like a bright green to it. The water here is that bright green, but it doesn't have the like texture of algae across it.
Okay. As a healer back in Mistra or Mistrea. How do I pronounce that?
Mistria.
I definitely was aware of mosquitoes, and I look at this still water and I grumble, I hope they're not undead mosquitoes. That would be terrible.
That's a horrifying idea I've never even considered.
As I set up camp a little bit away from those pools.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can set up your camp away from the pools and break for the night. In the night, as you gather some wood to make a fire, are we going to burn this dead, rotted wood? I mean, you're immune to disease, so what's the worst that could happen? Right? Yeah,
that's fine.
Right. As we make our camp and we set our fires, you can hear a feminine voice giving some sort of like sobbing, not quite sobbing, but like a like singing a sad song. But more like, if I don't know how to describe it, if there was like a really like a sad Finnish heavy metal band, if you could somehow mix emo music with like Finnish heavy metal but then strip out the instrumentals and it was just the singer there, it has this like harsh, grating, really rough tone to it, while at the same time, you know, interweaving these sort of depressing notes.
Okay. Do I feel like this echoes throughout the forest, or is it coming from a point that I could walk to?
It sounds close enough. Maybe a few hundred, maybe 100 yards, 200 yards off.
Okay. I will... Is my shield the type that you could strap a torch onto and have it light the way?
It is not.
All right, well, I'll leave my shield off to my side as I light a torch off with my campfire and I go to investigate.
All right. Let's see. Let me adjust the lighting here. Here we go. Torchlight sheds 2 time and movement. Nope. Vision and light. Torches, 15-foot radius. Excellent. You can... What's the daylight? Or the type of night that we're in? We're here. Oh, yeah, it's still the first week of the month. No, that's the wrong one. Where's the... Here we are. Yes, it's still the first week of September. So the moonlight is not great. I'm going to give you a little bit more vision because there is some amount of moonlight here, though. We'll just bring this up to that. Excellent. You find yourself on a trail, or something similar to a trail, as you walk southward away from the river. The grounds around you, dead, rotten. The trees around you, blighted, corrupted. And yet there is a section of lowered ground between rocks that leads you along a bit of a path. And the voice gets louder.
All right. I will attempt to stealthily walk up.
With a torch?
Yes.
Excellent. Make me a dexterity check at -2 because of your encumbrance.
All right. I press the button, subtract 2 off of that.
All right. 19. You walk through the soft sand, the soft dirt, heading downward. These greenish pools before you, or appear before you. Hard to make out at first, but as you get close enough that your torchlight is above them, you can see this fetid green color. And I think I'm going to ask you to pause after your next step.
Okay.
Because you hear a the singing has gotten, it was getting louder, and now it comes to a dead stop and changes from singing to more chanting. What's your, let me see your non-weapon proficiencies here, skills. Perfect. Don't even worry about it. There's a chanting sound coming from before you.
Okay, I'll just break out for a run then.
All right.
Straight at the noise.
You run straight at the noise. You can get to about here before you see a humanoid shape in the pond before you. This green twisted pond. I don't know if you want to walk into it, and it is this voice that the is making the chanting sound.
Okay, I've drawn my mace, my Holy Avenger in one hand, with my torch held out, and I yell at it, What are you? My torch lights up the character just briefly as I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, as you shout out your question, you'll notice the thickening sound of insects around you and appearing right next to you, right on your square, is a swarm of nasty, crawling insects. Like, what do you call them? Centipedes and maggots and all sorts of hideousness begins to appear just all around you on the ground and begin to climb up upon your legs. We can roll initiative.
Mm-hmm. Does that pond, like, can I see that she's standing in it? Is it a...
She does seem to be standing in it. It does have a feminine outline to it, although it's very hard to make out in the dark. And I think at this range, there's not really even much color coming from this person. It's just like a, you know, wider hips, thinner waist,
okay,
styled person. And they are in the pond, like, you know, up to their ankles or their shins or something like that.
Okay.
Okay. You rolled a 16. That is not great at all. The voice calls out to you, a singular word, a word that you don't have to understand, I think. Well, she does speak common, if that is the case. Yes, it must be understood by the creature. She calls out in the common tongue, grovel. And if you have 13 intelligence or 6 levels, you get to make a saving throw. Otherwise, it takes effect immediately with no saving throw whatsoever.
Okay.
What's your int?
I just assumed that was enough. Int 11.
No, your round is wasted as you fall prone to the ground, forced to grovel before this creature, having no opportunity to do anything else. You recognize this spell immediately as a command spell. It is a level 1 cleric spell. You know this one yourself. You've probably used it in the past.
One of my favorite spells, but yes. As it's used against me, I start babbling. Oh, please don't hurt me, my yes. lady.
Well, the insects swarm all over you, and you will take 4 points of damage as the insects crawl up your armor, in between your plates, over your legs, on the back of your head, and just straight 4 damage. No save, no defense.
Thanks.
Next round.
Good thing.
Are you immune to level 1 spells? Are you immune to level 1 spells? Hold on. Holy Avenger. It gives you... Your Holy Avenger gives you some level of protection. What is it? Plus 50% magic resist in a 5-foot radius. Dispels magic in a 5-foot radius at the level of the paladin. Okay.
Ooh.
So you have a 50% chance. So you're a level 1 paladin versus a level 7. So you need, roll me a d20 to see if you can actually dispel the... Actually, no. You have a 50% chance to ignore... Is that right? You have a 50% chance to ignore all spell effects?
Wow, that's pretty overpowered.
I mean, it's a Holy Avenger. It is a wildly overpowered item. I just want to double check that I'm not... It's important because there's going to be much death and many spells before us. It creates magical resistance of 50% in a 5-foot radius, dispels magic in a 5-foot radius at the level of paladin. Yeah. So the insects that have been covered around you, that's an area of effect spell, so you don't get magic resistance against it, but you can dispel it. And you would dispel it as a first level person against the 7th level caster that is casting it. So you would roll a d20, and you would need to roll a 17 or higher to dispel the insects.
Oh, okay.
On a d20.
Sure.
All right.
Easy.
The insects actually are dispelled. You actually won't take that 4 points of damage. This is unfortunate. The command spell, however, is cast directly upon you, and you just have 50% magic resistance. So a 50 or lower on a D100 to resist the command. I forgot about your Holy Avenger Mace.
50 or lower. Okay. 50 or lower is good in this case.
50 lower is good.
All right. It is.
Ah, okay. Ah. So you do grovel, but you are not covered in insects taking damage. Okay.
Nice.
All right. Glad we got this sorted. Next round...
I'll start standing back up, draw my mace. I don't suppose we could talk this out, I say futilely. You see, you've used one of my favorite spells. So I feel like we share some sort of kinship.
Excellent. The creature before you is going to cast Hold Person on you. You also have a 50% chance to dispel Hold Person as or to resist it as it is cast in your direction.
All right.
All right. You that make yourself to your feet, and you are held.
It sounds like there's a magic effect within 5 feet of me now. Do I have some sort of... It doesn't sound like anti-magic field, but...
Right, it is a dispel magic within 5 feet, so if you walk into a magical effect, you can dispel it, and then the magic resistance is for... There are two interesting things here. Magic resistance works at preventing things from affecting you. Dispel magic works as, like, destroying things around you. So it just turns you into sort of an anti-magic tool. But I don't think there's a situation where both of them would come into... Well, if someone cast a fireball on you, you would be in the range of the fireball. You would get the dispel and then the magic resistance? I should know. This is one of those things I should have probably double checked before we started this campaign.
Hmm.
How do these two intersect? Age 94. DMG. Magic resistance applies only if the successful casting of a spell would directly affect the resisted creature or item. This magic resistance is effective against magic missiles or a fireball spell. Magic resistance is not effective against an earthquake caused by a spell. So your magic resistance does not apply to the insects that are spawned, but it does apply to hold person cast at you. Dispel magic in a 5-foot radius. Dispel magic. Neutralize and negate the magic it comes in contact with as follows. Chance to remove spells and spell-like effects from creatures or objects. Disrupt the use or casting of them at the instant the spell is cast. And third, it may destroy magical potions. Now, obviously, you can still drink potions. Right? This is not saying that with a Holy Avenger, you can't drink potions. That would be... effect in the area. Interesting. I don't know. Do you have a thought on how these interplay?
Let's see. It sounds like that's automatically cast whenever, you know, harmful magic is done. It probably doesn't automatically... I wonder if it does it every round.
Yeah, it seems to be a constant effect. But you would only get, I think, one... Each thing that you could dispel would only be triggered once. It's not going to re-trigger over and over again. Magic resistance.
And that would probably come after I save for this spell, right?
Yeah, because it will be on you. Magic resistance, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yeah. You are affected by magic. You are in a zone of dispel magic. I don't see why you wouldn't get a second 50% save against this.
Not a 50%, but I mean the natural save.
Yeah, sorry. The dispel magic is 17 or higher on a d20 again.
Okay. Should I first roll the save versus the whole person? Like the normal person save?
Yes. I don't think the order matters, but yeah. Go ahead and roll your normal saving throw,
okay,
which is a failure. And now you're 17 or higher on your dispel magic.
Hmm.
Oh. Well, if you stack enough things in your favor, eventually one of them is going to succeed. Okay. It is so. That means three spells have been cast at you. All three have been turned back by your enchantment, your enchanted mace, clearly bringing this level one paladin into a much higher power class. It is your turn, Nicholas. Do you walk into the water?
I do. I'll walk
excellent
in.
Excellent.
I'll drop my torch off right. No, actually, I won't. I'll hold the torch in one hand and then swing the mace at her.
All right. As you get here to where you're standing, the water is quite a bit deeper there. You're up to your waist. I'm going to give you a -2 on your attack roll because of the, you know, it's half submerged in water.
Oh, interesting. Does it look like she's halfway?
No, she is much, she must be at like the ground must be higher where she is standing, or she's got some sort of floating on water magic going on around her.
Okay. Well, I will go ahead and roll this and then you can take 2 off.
Will do. It's 15 is still going to be a hit. D6 nice. Plus 11. Ooh, that is almost everything.
Wow.
Whoops. There we go. Yes, you smash this twisted creature before you. I'm going to give you a slightly better look at what this thing is. It is a feminine figure. It's like purplish and greenish flesh all around it with sort of a broken wing cage behind it.
Hmm. I like to think the Holy Avenger causes her to burst in some sort of radiant fire.
I think there's got to be some sort of radiant blast when you hit her that helps cause that 10 points of damage. I'm in fact going to give her, because she's just a regular small creature. No, she'll stand fast. And hold her ground. But the eyes, unlike the stag, which were kind of in different directions and both sort of inward, these eyes are quite aware and quite alert, and they are gazing directly at you. And now that you are adjacent in good light... Oh, also, can you make me a saving throw versus poison as you wade through the waters here?
Sure. Also, does the Holy Avenger give off light?
It does not.
Okay. Spell save versus poison. I'm a paladin. Does that matter? Can I get poisoned?
You can be poisoned, but you have a +2 on your saves.
Okay.
All right. You will take 1d4 damage each round that you are in, or partially in, this poison as it sort of eats at your flesh. One right. point of damage ain't much, though. I think we are at the next round.
Right after I hit her good with that mace, I'll say, I have some good news. I'm not really out to slay evil. I just want to find out what's going on. If you want to surrender and spill the beans. But I will roll my initiative anyways.
Okay. The creature will throw up her hands, blocking her face in a cowering motion, and crumple to the ground. And for a moment, the, what you want to call them, the like black pupils with a twisted green spirals behind them, in what should be the milky whites of the eyes, begin to fade. And you can see the soft, you know, tawny colored eyes of a fey creature before you as she crumples into the poisonous ground that appears not to be affecting her at all.
All right, follow me out of this poison, I say, understanding, and I'll back out onto dry land, expecting her to follow.
She will follow to here, and then as she takes one step off, it looks like as she tries to pull her foot out of the swamp, it's hard, like she's having, like it's stuck, and she'll get one foot out and then seems to be unable to leave. And she will look at you and say, help.
Ooh. I try to cut not the leg off, but like the swamp off.
I'll swing with a mace, try and smash the swamp.
Yes.
Give me a D, just a flat D20, and roll really, really well.
Okay.
Ten is not really, really well. No. You splash at the swamp. The water kind of rises and falls. It splatters like normal water. But her leg is still trapped there. And I think it's at this moment that she's going to, as you're trying to bash at the water at her feet, she's going to try and just shove you into the swamp. She's going to make herself a nice 1d20 plus normally 3 to hit and another 2 for you being bent over. 8. You'll feel her hands push on your armor and then just slip off the sides of it. It's probably splattered with that very same water. Or maybe her hands are wet, but she does not get a grip on your plate mail. But you can feel the attempt to shove you down from above.
Okay. Do I get the feeling that she is battling some sort of mind control, or do I get the feeling that I've been deceived? As I look at her and I, as she tries to shove me into the swamp.
Well, if she's deceiving you, that means she can voluntarily control the color of her eyes and the coloration there.
Okay.
So I leave that to your judgment.
Got it. I will,
She shrinks again once you get back to standing, and yes, looks up at you with the clear eyes. Yeah, I'm Velour. She introduces herself. I'm Velour. Okay. Please help.
Fight, Velour. Come with me. I'll try to grab onto her hands and pull her out.
Give me a really, really, really good strength check.
Alright.
Ooh, that's pretty good. You'll get her, you know, one leg is the one that's already out, moves a little bit farther. The swamp water seems to be grasping tightly around her ankle, but she gets, you know, most of her calf out. Velour will say to you, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is something you have to help. I'm not alone. There are others.
I'm trying, Velour. Let's get yourself out of the swamp first.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Pull, Velour, pull. I try again.
You can try again, but to no avail. She seems bound to this swamp unless she is lying to you and actively resisting.
Seems like you're stuck here, Isai. Will you fall under the swamp's influence again?
Indubitably.
Well then, what can you tell me? I will try to help your friends. And speak fast before you turn again. Do I get the sense that she's an elf? Or was an elf?
She is too short to be an elf. She's only like 4.5 feet tall. I guess she could just be a young elf or just a pretty short elf. She definitely has fey features to it, like the unnaturally youthful face, the slightly wider set eyes that are a little bit elongated on the edges. Her ears have that, you know, pointed fey nature to them, although you haven't spent a lot of time around elves, so maybe she's just a small elf, or maybe she's a different fey creature. It could be like a dryad or a nereid or a nymph or a, you know, one of them there things.
Okay.
Anyway, you ask her to tell you what's going on, and she will tell you that the disease has spread across this land. It has spread quickly. And then her language gets a little bit garbled, almost like she forgets the words for the common word tongue, and she starts speaking in a foreign language. And starts gesticulating wildly.
Stay with me, Valur.
The green creeps back into her eyes.
All right, I will try to take off her leg without killing her.
All right.
The one that's connected to the swamp.
Let's go with the initiative rolls.
I actually have a better idea. Now that I say that, I'm going to try to pour that holy water onto her leg.
Okay. I think the holy water is initiative 6 for you.
All right.
You've got to pull it out of your bag. You've got your mace and your torch. So, you know, put the two in one hand, unshoulder the bag, you know, rummage around, grab the holy water. Yada, yada. Takes a little while. D10 plus 6. Perfect. She is casting a spell, but she is within 5 feet of you, which means dispel magic can disrupt it. You'll need, again, a 17 or higher to disrupt the spell.
Okay.
Not good enough. And then the spell is successfully cast. It requires a successful attack roll from her against you. And for a spell like this, it ignores your armor. She just needs to come in contact with you. Oh. And that, well, either way, that would hit without your shield. Your AC is only 20. 19. And you have a 50% magic resistance and then a saving throw versus poison. Because she is casting poison on you.
Poison? Dang. Poison naturally has 2 resists? Or I guess, no.
It's an attack roll and a saving throw, but if you fail, you're incapacitated and die.
Very good. All right, well, seems important to save this one.
That is within your 50%. The magic with the Holy Avenger in hand has no effect on you whatsoever. This twisted, evil death magic completely negated. But you get out your holy water. You pour it on her leg.
Mm-hmm.
It does do damage to her. Unfortunately, it will do 2d4 damage. Go ahead and roll it. But it will also allow you to pull her leg free from the pond. Out she'll come. She will drop into the negatives, but she is free from the pond.
All right. I assume this is one of those effects where as she was attacking me, her eyes turned this unnatural. And...
Oh, yeah. But now that she lays unconscious with a kind of like a hissing, burning, shriveling leg before you, Her eyes are sort of just fixed up ahead, straight. One of them murky and green, the other clear and sort of a tawny colored.
Okay, I will attempt to use my Lay on Hands power on her to heal, question mark, her for two.
It will work. The healing magic will heal the burns on her leg, and she will sort of blink and come to consciousness.
Are you with me? Are you okay?
I think this is where we're going to take our first break, and we will be back on the other side with a little bit more Rise of Drekkus. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rise of Drekkus, Chapter 4, Humanity. Balur is before you on the ground. What were you asking her before we went to break?
I just lay hands on her to bring her back to two, and I asked as I shook her from unconsciousness, Valir, are you okay? Are you all there? And I take a careful look at her eyes.
I am not okay. I am not all here. The corruption has come for me, and I cannot resist it forever. I've tried. I hid in my pool, and it's too much.
Well, Valir, I'm on my way to insert city name at the end of that river. What was it?
Oh, yeah. The Elven City of Ildrith? No, that's the other one. This is Lothrin.
Yes, I'm on my way to Lothrin, or trying to. I want to find out what happened to the elves. Can you tell me? Preferably really fast, before I have to slay you, before the corruption takes hold again.
The disease came. Scoria's necromancer made a spawning pool. Many of them. And from these pools, the disease spreads. And it's at this moment, while she's explaining this to you, that the waters behind her begin to stir. She will say, it's from these pools that trouble comes. It came here. I tried to protect my people. I dimensioned doored to safety, and the bodies came in. These bodies begin to rise from her pool now. As she says, the bodies came. And they...
Valir, can you dimension door us out of here now?
She cannot. But we can roll initiative.
All right. Do those bodies look slow?
Yeah.
Valir, can you run with me?
She cannot.
Okay.
But you can roll me initiative. She was brought to below zero and then back up, so all she can do is hobble.
Very good. I will,
All right, Nicholas, you are first. There are many of these creatures.
Yes, and I'll just mention, since I'm using Avenger plus Torch, AC's 19 instead of 22 displayed right now. I will Well, now that we're on this land, I'll drop my torch and hold my shield. Is that something that can be done for free?
It's a round to equip your shield.
Okay, that's fine, given...
Okay.
Yes.
You spend a round equipping your shield.
And I will stand protectively in front of her. Yes.
All right. You are donning it as the first of these zombies approaches you. And it reaches out not to smash you, but to grab you and drag you to the ground. Now, as a warrior subclass, you get a number of attacks of opportunity equal to 3 plus 1/5 your level, I believe. So go ahead and make me a free attack against this zombie with your Holy Avenger.
Very good.
Thirteen's an easy hit. Yeah, you okay. Smash into this creature.
1d6 plus 11.
Mm-hmm. 12 points of damage will almost destroy the zombie. You bash into its body, knocking off one of its arms as it attempts to grab you and drag you to the ground. So it will effectively make a smash to hit. 16, just trying to grab your armor or your shield, so all it needs is that 10, and now it'll do an opposed strength check to try and drag you to the ground. And it'll roll a 26.
Wow.
You will resist the zombie, but there are many more. The next one will come. Same thing, you get an attack of opportunity, you only get 3.
Yes, I regret my decision as these zombies come forward with smarter tactics than I am used to.
Mm-hmm. 12 will hit.
6 plus 11.
Amazing. Ooh. Damage.
Oh, no.
10 will still hit you. And give me that opposed strength check. It gets a 21. All you need is a 22. Oh, perfect. Excellent. Will go here. This one will go here. Same thing. Attack of opportunity.
All right.
Whoops, I did not show the map. I'm so sorry, chat. Viewers, my mistake. That's a critical hit. It's going to be 2d6 yes. plus 12.
Okay.
That will actually destroy this one.
Nice.
Oops. The next one, however, will just come on over here. And now you've used up all your attacks of opportunity.
I have.
Paladins, you have an ability. You project an aura of protection against evil around you, don't you?
Yes, I was looking that up. It's within a 10-foot of radius, all evil creatures suffer a -1 penalty to their attack rolls.
Good. It's going to be important here. It's been a long time since I've run a paladin. Okay. So it'll smash at you as well. That will definitely grab onto you, and it will try to drag you to the ground. And this one will succeed. It overbears you, pulls you to the ground, and just, you know, is on top of you now. This next one will come on over here. And now that you're already prone, this one's just going to try and... this one's just going to try and eat your face. So it's going to be regular attack, +4 because you're prone, -1 because of your aura of protection. So +3, that's not going to do it. The next one is going to come on up and over here. And this one is going to try and also devour you. +3 is not going to do it. Nope. The next one does the same thing, tries to devour you, still not going to get through all of that armor. And this other one is going to just walk over Velour, who is pretty helpless because she was brought to the negatives and then back up, and will attempt to devour you as well. No. Okay, so they're getting a total of modifier of plus 5 to hit you. You have 22 AC. They need a 17, a natural 17 to get you. Oh, and somehow this one didn't move. And he will just... They're kind of dumb. He's back here. All right. Okay. Next round, Nicholas.
All right. I look at Valera to see if there's any sign that she might be turning any time soon. I guess I'll ask her, do you feel the corruption taking a hold of you anytime in the immediate future?
Yes! I mean, I don't know how you're saying this while there's zombies crawling all over you. I guess you've got a shield up and they're not actually biting you. They're just like pushing against your armor and trying to rip it apart. So maybe you can shout at her. She will cry, yes.
Okay.
And I guess you can roll for initiative.
Yes. Quickly, Valir, do you have anything very important to say that would help me save your land?
If she does, she's either incapable of saying it or you're incapable of hearing it at this point in time. You will act first. You are prone. You've been dragged to the ground by a zombie and surrounded.
Okay. Is there a... I guess I'll ask. I'm more used to 5th edition, so from prone, what can I do in 2nd edition?
Well, there's one of these that's holding you down, and the others are all trying to rip at you. So if you wanted to stand up, you would have to make an opposed strength check against the one that's holding you down. And that would allow you to get to your feet, but that would be your action. You could then try to move, but since they're all crawling all over you, they'd each get an attack of opportunity as you crawl away, as you walk away. Since you're held down... That's all you got for standing up. You can make a regular attack roll. You have a penalty for being prone. You're using a bashing weapon, so you can't really bring it behind you to get the same amount of attack thrust. So I think you're at probably like a -3 because you're being held and pinned to the ground. And there's not a lot of movement room. On the other hand, zombies have very low AC.
Yes. If I were to... Is it possible to kill the specific one holding me down and be fine, or are they basically at this point all crawling over me?
They are all crawling over you, but only one of them is like using their strength to hold you down. Others are like, the one down here at your feet is trying to like chew through your ankle, and so that's holding your ankle, but not necessarily like that's not great leverage. And one's trying to like rip at your shoulders. One of them's trying to eat at your head. These are scraping, clawing, smashing, bashing attacks that batter you about, but don't necessarily restrain you.
Got it. Well, I will, with poor angling, still attempt to swing my mace at the one holding me down here. So that would be a -3 sent to it. 6! Ha ha!
6 is still a hit! D6 plus 11. 14 damage is fantastic. But not enough to kill it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Alright. I'm gonna say that you can get attacks of opportunities against... probably only two of them that are biting at you because the others are at your extremities. So go ahead and make attack of opportunity against this one on the left and this one at your feet.
More than fair. All right. Here's the left. That's a miss. And here's the bottom, which is a barely hit.
All right. The one at the bottom only has 9 hit points remaining, so it will definitely die. And then we will get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Whoops. This one will come over here, and this one will come over here. So we're going to get 7 attacks against you while one of them holds you down. We're looking for 17s. 2, 3, 4 is a hit. 5, 6, 7. So you will get chewed for 8 points of damage by one of these zombies.
Yikes.
Probably the one at the top of you where, you know, you may not have a helmet on or it's easier to, like, rip it off. And then it begins to, you know, smash with its unnaturally strong hands into your skull.
Okay.
Initiative. What are you going to do for your initiative round?
Well, I got to kill that thing holding me down.
And once again, you go first. Zombies are slow.
Lucky me.
Boom! Excellent shot.
All right, here's 2d6 plus 12 on the one.
And dead it is. You bash its face in. It crumples to the ground. There are things clawing and pulling at you, but you can get to your feet.
Okay, I'll get to my feet now. Is it possible to also move on this turn? And would they all get attacks then?
Yes, because they're all clinging and clawing to you, and they're all swarmed on you. So if you move through them, or, you know, through them this way, they will get attacks of opportunity. But your AC is 22, and they no longer have that +4 for you. So now they need... What are they rolling at? I'll let you do the math on your own. Your chances are better. You're more favorable now.
Okay, I will look at them real quick and take a guess on if me or the zombies are faster at my encumbered rate.
About the same. Both movement rate 6 with your plate mail.
Okay. Does that mean if I were to take my full movement away that they would still be able to move and attack me after?
Well, you would only be doing a half movement, so they could half move and attack as well.
Okay. I will stand my ground.
All right. They get back up to their feet. This one up here is actually, this one up here is the first to go, and he's going to try and grapple you and pull you down again. You get an attack of opportunity. If you want to take it, you don't have to take it. You only get 3. You get to decide which ones you take it on.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right.
6 plus 12 for crit. 21.
Wow, that is amazing damage. Not enough to kill it, of course, but amazing damage. It will grab hold of you, and it will need a strength check to pull you back down. 36 on the zombie. It drags you back to the ground as the next one down here will flop forward, also trying to drag you to the ground because you were fully standing. And I think with you being prone, it can grab you and hold you down as well. There's two holding you down. The third zombie is going to try to eat you. You can get your attack of opportunity on this guy. Most of them are you know, in the state of half raising to come after you and now trying to come back down. I think you can get your full 3 attacks this time.
Okay.
Hit.
As it comes at me, I'll swing that mace. The only thing keeping me alive here.
Unfortunately, it's you don't get the additional 3 damage on there. It's just the 1d6 plus 11. So we're going to take off the 2 and the 1, and you bring the zombie to 1 hit point remaining. And then he gets his smash in, which will hit you for another 8 points of damage.
Okay.
And this may be a very short campaign.
Indeed.
Yes. Our next zombie will miss. You get an attack of opportunity if you want it on this one.
I'll wait until the bottom right one if possible.
Well, the bottom right one is next. Go ahead and take your attack. Hit.
All right. Is this a crit or a hit?
Just a regular hit. You have to do a natural 18 to crit.
Got it.
It's another one down and dead. The next one is on your left, and that was 3 attacks of opportunity, I believe?
Yes, that's all of them.
All right. This one is also going to just try and eat you with a miss. And the last one with a miss. All right. There are two zombies holding you. This one and this one. And there are four zombies eating you. Initiative.
Yikes.
And I do believe you're at 2 hit points, right?
Yeah.
So this is not very good for our hero here.
Not very good.
But you know, you said something to me during the break that I think was kind of important. You said, what was it? Ah, I had cast the nymph Velour had cast a save or die spell at you, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A couple of them, hold person and poison. This is a corrupted land. What do you think would happen to a +5 holy avenger if it fell into this corrupted land that's, you know, changing nymphs into monstrous creatures? Might that be a wonderful setup for our next campaign where an evil holy avenger is now destroying the entire world? Oh no.
That would be a very good campaign, yes.
Mm. All right, Nicholas, you're first up. Where are you going to spend your actions?
You know, I rolled that Holy Avenger mace, but I'll think about my clerical training. Do I have Turn Undead?
You can turn undead as a cleric. However, it would mean half experience for... this is important here. Where is it? If he uses any of his previous class abilities during an encounter, he earns no experience for that encounter and only half experience for that adventure. So it would be no experience for any of this zombie nymph related stuff. But actually just the zombie stuff. The nymph was before that. And only half experience for this first foray into the forest and back.
Okay.
But you can turn undead as a third level cleric.
From my experience as being a cleric, how effective do I think turn undead is on the basic zombie, basic zombies? Do they
These
look
are basic
tougher?
Zombies. Okay. Yeah. You would need a 7 or better on a d20 to turn these zombies. Now, I had forgotten that you have undead lore. And maybe you forgot too in the moment of everything. But with undead lore, you don't need the check. I was just making it public. You know that zombies are weak in the skull. They have a shit ton of HP when you are bashing their bodies. And I kind of forgot that you had undead lore because you didn't ask if you knew anything about zombies. But their body has a lot of HP. Their body has... Scrolling. 4d8 plus 2 hit points. So... what is that? 4 times 4.5. So they should have around 20 HP, but their heads only have about 6 HP. It's a -4 attack to hit their head. And you can't do it on opportunity attacks, but on regular attacks, it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other than that, it is your full turn here. Turn undead, melee attack. What do you want to do?
Okay, desperate times call for desperate measures. I'll pull out my amulet of... I'll clutch my amulet of Malchus as I hold it up and shine a bright turn undead light to try to fend them all off.
You need a 7 or higher on a d20.
Is that on each one? Or
no, no, it's total? 1 for the entire pack, I believe. Let's see.
Okay.
Cross index the hit dice or type of undead with the level of the character. If the number is listed, only one die is rolled regardless of the number of undead the character is attempting to turn in a given round. All right.
Let's do this. Turn undead.
No, you bring your mace or your hand to the symbol of Malchus on your shield. It glows with a brilliant, red light, the color of Malchus. His red and black, but black light doesn't really work here. But the the might of the zombies, the weight of them pull your arm off, and they seem intent upon eating you.
If I fail, I can't help but wonder if I'm just part of Malchus's grand plan to create a corrupted version of this Holy Avenger.
I don't know why he would want that, but it might be it. Maybe he wants to see humans suffer more. One, two, three, four. And a zombie will bash you with its hands for 7 points of damage. And I think that's game. Oh, wait, yeah. Attacks of opportunity.
Oh.
Right?
All right, I'll...
But it was the fourth one that hit, right? Yeah. You would have taken them all. You would have... Well, you were doing the weakest ones.
Yeah, you went from top to bottom left, so I would have hit the second one. I wouldn't have hit this one.
One... Two, three, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have hit this one. I think the zombies eat you.
Wow. I hope Malchus is happy.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that is going to be it for today's session. We're going to talk off camera because this was a very short campaign and there might be the paladin is gone. The paladin is definitely dead, but King Imric, Empress Wick, neither of these people are particularly interested in seeing a Holy Avenger disappear into these lands and never be seen from again. So we'll talk about maybe putting together some sort of secondary, or I guess this would be expedition number 6 here, but I don't know if that would make any sense. You might need backup players for that. Wouldn't be able to do it alone.
I was just thinking during the break, after fighting this one,
lady. Yeah.
If I fight more like that, we'd need a party, like a D&D party.
Yeah, unfortunately, the disease would... The paladin is immune to the disease. Anyone else who goes in here succumbs to it too quickly, so I don't know what could possibly be done. I don't know if there is going to be a follow-up. I'm super bummed. I was so excited for this campaign.
Oh, no.
Oh, no! Well, it happens. Thanks, everybody, for watching Rise of Drekkus Chapter 4. It was a short one. Thanks for so much, Jeff, for coming by and delivering a Holy Avenger into blighted hands of whatever necromancer spreading great evil throughout the land. I'm sure it won't be a problem.
It's okay. They can't use it. They're not a paladin.
Right. That's, yeah. It'll be fine. Okay. Goodbye, everyone.